Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, the only cure for our Basketball Jones, Hail Varsity's Jacob Padilla on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone, baby. Maybe that's why.
John Schreiner back here with you on the Connor Happer Show, joined now by Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity. Jacob, welcome.
Hi. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. Hey, how many I'm back graphics did you see yesterday?
There was a wide variety, I think, of different types of announcements and graphics and videos and wording and all that. I do appreciate Casey's just the simple "I'm back." That was nice. Trey Alexander kind of went that route as well. So it was a pretty good day for the local schools for sure.
We talked about this a little bit to open the show, but which do you think is more entrenched in our sports psyche, the "I'm back" or the "with that being said" written into an announcement?
Probably "with that being said," because it's more versatile. You can use it for return announcements. You can use it for moving on. You can use it for transferring. So I think that one just got a little bit more versatility. "I'm back" typically just means one thing.
I like it. Getting a breakdown of all of the various announcement protocols here from Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity. So you mentioned Keisei Tominaga. He's coming back. Just what do you think this means for Nebraska?
It means a lot. It means you get a little bit more continuity coming back from last year. Obviously, they've got a good number of players coming back, but you lose your top two playmakers in Derek Walker and Sam Griesel. That's a lot to replace. And Casey coming back, second leading scorer, obviously one of the best scorers in the Big Ten over the last month or so of the season. Now you've got that kind of known coming in as one of your leading scorers, and now it's not entirely on the newcomers coming in to kind of shoulder that scoring load, that offensive load. He's a guy that you know what he does well. You know how to get him his shot. And now it's about kind of filling out the team around him to make sure that team can't totally load up on him and make life tough for him without kind of opening themselves up to other guys going off. So it's a big addition for Fred Hoiberg as he looks to continue pushing this program forward here.
With Casey, at the end of the season, I remember the discussion being around him potentially going back to Japan and possibly even being able to garner like a seven-figure salary if he went back to his home country. And then it sort of shifted where, no, he's thinking about the NBA. When did it shift to him actually coming back to Nebraska? Because that really didn't seem like it was very on the table at the end of the season.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to come back. Just like you said, the opportunities that awaited for him. He's been in college for 4 years. But I think the lure of the NBA is strong. Like he said during that Patriots interview, like playing in the NBA has always been his dream. Grew up watching Kobe Bryant and Steph Curry, and he wants to give himself the best opportunity possible to get a crack there. I think the going back home is more like, hey, the financial side of it and the opportunities will be there. If he's not yet interested in doing that, then I think coming back to Nebraska makes the best sense. Because, I mean, when you're, to be honest, he's probably not ever going to play in the NBA. But you're especially not going to have a chance when you've got the physical tools that he's dealing with as a 6'1", 6'2", off guard, who's not terribly athletic. I think you got to put more on tape to show you're an outlier than just 9 games. Obviously, he was phenomenal during those last 9 games, but I think the idea is come back and show that he can sustain that over the course of a full season, and then see what happens after that. Because again, like as a player of his profile, you have to be an outlier to even get a shot at a two-way or something like that. So I think Nebraska just provides him an opportunity to continue to kind of show what he can do. And he's going to hold on to that NBA dream as long as he can. And Nebraska allows him to kind of stay kind of on that radar versus going back overseas. And there's some that make their way to the league from that route. But I think it's easier to do it from over here.
I know a lot of this stuff isn't public and maybe you don't know, but do you know what his sort of NIL opportunity is at Nebraska?
I don't. Haven't heard much specifically about how that all is working out, but I would anticipate them, and Fred Hoiberg said this himself, and I think Tom Auburn maybe has referred to it as well. It's like they're doing their due diligence. They're kind of doing all the background work to give their international students every opportunity available to them. So obviously they're making an overseas trip. Obviously it's not going back home for K-State necessarily, but that's always a source of potentially earning when you're outside the country. And he'll be back home in Japan, training with the national team most of the summer. So that I think will be a chance for him to maybe capitalize on his fame back at home and do some opportunities there to help himself out. And then from here, just kind of working on kind of the exceptions and the various ways that you can funnel money towards these international students that wouldn't normally be able to make the regular NIL money. So I don't know what it is exactly, but I know Nebraska is kind of exploring every opportunity to make sure that he has a chance to earn something while he's here.
Two other players that announced their returns to college yesterday, Ryan Culprinner, Trey Alexander for Creighton. Does this put Creighton right back at the top of the conversation for the Big East title?
Absolutely. I think they're right back in that like preseason top 10 conversation. I think Bartorvik with his numbers kind of with Trey's return, bumped him up to like 3 or 4 in his projections for nationally. It's going to be a little different, you know, the way that this team plays than last year, but they've got a chance to be just as good or even better, like with the kind of the shift they've made. They're going all in more on the 3-point shooting aspect to go around Culprinner as your guy providing the rim pressure. And obviously had a phenomenal season last year, 2-way impact, led him in scoring, and 2-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. Great place to start. And I'm just excited to see what this looks like with Alexander coming back. I think he was kind of the key to really maximizing the rest of the returners, where Stephen Ashworth, phenomenal shooter. He's a good point guard, but he can make plays and pick and roll off the ball, great pull-up shooter. But he's also lethal off the ball. And Baylor Shireman, kind of same thing. Like I expect him to take a leap as a shooter this season. With his second year in the league, I mean that first year in the league, we've seen it. A bunch of Creighton guys that have come through the league that first year that ended up being elite shooters, that it took them a year to adjust to the league, and now Baylor's got that adjustment period under his belt and can move forward. So you've got those two as guys that can play on and off the ball. Now you put the ball in Trey's hands and he can set those guys up. So you got three legitimate, like, really good playmakers that are also 40% 3-point shooters off the ball. So I'm really excited to see kind of what those three look like together. And then obviously you've got Kalk Brenner providing the rim pressure, rolling to the basket, all the lobs and everything. And then we'll see kind of what happens with that fourth starting spot. They likely, and anticipate the kind of Mason Miller and Isaac Trout, and you can toss Jason Green in there as well. Kind of three guys for that power forward spot. They could also go more veteran and go a smaller lineup where you've got Shireman playing the four. So they've got some options there, but regardless, I think you'll have a chance to have a better four spacing from that four spot this year than last year necessarily with Arthur Kaluma and how inconsistent he was as a shooter. So you've got a true four spacer at the four. You've got three kind of combo guards that are also 40% three-point shooters. And then you got one of the guy that nearly led the country in field goal percentage in the middle. So this Creighton team has a chance to be really fun to watch, and I'm excited to see how it comes together.
Well, I wanted to get you to nail down a specific then with all these guys coming back and the additions that they've made. Like, what do you think the ceiling is for this team?
I mean, I think ceiling's as high as anybody. Most obviously, they one play shy of the final four. Like, they've got a chance to do everything that they did last year, and then maybe then some. I mean, that's like I said, they kind of last year's group. What ultimately let them down in a lot of these games was just the lack of consistent shooting. And they were so inconsistent that when they're hitting shots, they look unstoppable. But it's just wasn't something you can rely on. It just didn't have the level of shooting that pass Creighton did. I think that's why Greg McDermott and staff went all in on a guy like Ashworth as one of the best shooters in college basketball last year. And like I said, you're replacing Kaluma with maybe less proven options, but better pure shooters. And Miller and I think Isaac Trout will be that as well. So you're going to have a chance to be a little bit more consistent, more reliable from the three-point line. And I think they're hoping that they'll be able to be just as good or close to it defensively with Alexander back and Kalkbrenner back. Those are kind of your two best defenders there outside of what Sharif Mitchell was able to give them in limited minutes last year. So it's a little different. I think they're taking a little bit different route to try to get over that hump and to truly get to Final Four and beyond. But if it works out, I think that it could potentially get them there.
All right, NBA draft. We know who a lot of the players who have decided to come back. Some have decided to stay in. Andre Jackson Jr. from UConn is staying in the draft, projected as a second rounder. Were there any surprises for you of who's staying and who's coming back?
So the most surprising thing to me right now is the fact that Paul Mulcahy of Rutgers is the only Big Ten player like that we don't know about. I don't know if like he, it's like of all the people to be the last one to make an announcement, Paul Mulcahy. but beyond that, in the Big Ten, it was a pretty even split. I think probably the most surprising was Terrence Shannon Jr. returning to go with Coleman Hawkins for Illinois. That'll give them a chance to kind of be top five in the Big Ten next year with those guys coming back, with the transfer additions they made, with Dane Danger in the middle. Illinois will have a chance to be pretty darn good next year. I don't know that was a surprise, but Zach Edey coming back is obviously the most significant decision made because he's the reigning national player of the year. And Purdue will be able to bring everybody back, basically, outside of one guy from the rotation.
They get to come back and get bounced in the first round again.
That's what I was going to say. The end of the season didn't go the way that they were hoping, but they're a really good team, and sometimes stuff happens. So they'll hope to run it back again and hope that stuff doesn't happen in this time.
All right. Well, let's get your thoughts on the NBA Finals. Starts tonight. Heat. And the Nuggies, can the Heat continue their magic run?
I don't think so. I think Denver's just going to have too much for them. Just the matchup, I don't know how Miami both matches up with Denver and causes enough problems for Denver on the other end to keep up with them. Like that team is so well put together. you got guys that are stepping up and playing at a high level, role players like Michael Carter Williams, or Michael Carter Williams, Michael Kidd, geez, Contavious Caldwell Pope. I'm just throwing out all these
guys with three names.
Yes. Contavious Caldwell Pope has been terrific for them in the postseason. Bruce Brown coming off the bench has been huge. Obviously, you've got the main core with Murray and Jokic and Gordon and Porter Jr. all doing their thing, and those are all tough matchups. I don't necessarily know how Miami's going to be able to match up. The zone was a big deal for them against Boston that they went through at different points, and Denver just tears zones apart. You cannot zone Denver with Jokic's ability to make the right play and find everybody. Find the open man every single time, and with the shooting ability they've got. So they're going to have to come up with some other wrinkles there. And if you put Bam on Jokic, then, I mean, who's your help defender? That's kind of what gave Denver problems with that matchup somewhat, is putting having Anthony Davis as kind of the help defender, the roamer, and putting their foreman on Jokic and just trying to survive that way. And I don't know that Miami has the personnel to do that. You could throw Kevin Love out there and ask him to kind of body up with Jokic, and then that frees Bam up a little bit. But you kind of need Caleb Martin out there. Gabe Vincent, how healthy is he? I just don't see – I haven't seen Miami making this entire run kind of doubt them every step of the way, so I might look foolish doing it again, but man, I was just so impressed with what Denver has done to this point and how complete that team is. I just don't see it happening.
All right, Jacob Padilla says Nuggets in four. Put your money down now and send the bill to Jacob if it doesn't happen.
They might get bored and give Miami a game. I mean, heat culture
they might get bored.
Heat culture will be enough to give them I think maybe one game. I'm hoping so, but I don't see it going 6 or 7, probably, I don't think.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Jacob. Appreciate the insight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity. You heard it. He thinks it's the Nuggies. That's it's going to make Connor pretty happy, right?
He was so confident in the Nuggets winning the championship, he didn't even feel the need to be here.
He didn't.
For the NBA Finals.
He really didn't. And that gets going tonight, game one. I will give you my NBA Finals preview a little bit later. Again, I'm a guy who does not watch or know virtually anything about the current state of the NBA. But I, as a man who talks on the radio, am going to give you my thoughts on the NBA Finals. That's coming up a little bit later. But with Jacob talking about especially the Creighton stuff, you could hear his response. He was a little bit measured in the way he said it. He said, this team's ceiling is as high as anyone's.
You notice that too.
And if you can read between the lines there, he's saying that Creighton is a national championship caliber team with Kalkbrenner and Alexander returning. Now, no Arthur Kaluma. Again, inconsistent as a shooter. That was, I think, maybe, I know he wanted to go somewhere else. Might have been a little bit of a mutual decision. I don't have any facts to back that up. That's just my feeling. But with what Jacob said about Creighton wanting to go all in on getting the three-point shot back into the game plan, Arthur Kaluma's not the guy to do that. He's not a tremendous three-point shooter. So if you're a fan of Creighton basketball, the excitement that you felt at the start of last season when they played in those preseason tournaments before Kalkbrenner missed time and they went on that long losing streak, I think you're probably going to start feeling that same excitement again as we head towards the 23-24 season. I mean, why not? You were a shot away from the Final Four and playing against an FAU team that you probably would have matched up pretty well with.
That's an odd sentence.
And those two guys from FAU, both of them are coming back too. Elijah Martin, and I forget the other guy's name. But those, they were the two studs for FAU in their tournament run. They're both coming back. How about South Florida right now, eh?
It's a hot
Heat in the NBA Finals. Florida Panthers in the NHL Stanley Cup Final. FAU was just in the Final Four.
Miami women had a run. Miami men had a run in the respective basketball tournaments.
The Marlins are not very good.
They are not.
That's the outline. The Dolphins are okay.
Dolphins have expectations, although the Marlins are tied for second in the division.
Returning players for both Creighton and Nebraska have a chance to make huge impacts. Like that, those are huge announcements for these two teams. Casey, like, the only question is, like, who makes the biggest impact as a returner? So let's go through it. Ryan Kalkbrenner, best big man in the Big East. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially now that Sonogo's gone.
Sure.
That's even more clear. I think without him, there would have been some significant questions to answer. Like, who... Fred King, can he be that guy? Yeah,
get enough time
at times. Yeah, I think he can, but consistently, maybe. But Kalkbrenner answers all those questions, being back in the lineup, and with him, like, in my mind, Creighton's a surefire second weekend team. Just having Ryan Kalkbrenner, even if, like, throw Trey Alexander out, say Trey Alexander stays in the NBA draft and is not returning. If you just get Kalkbrenner back, I think it's still a second weekend team with what they have. That's a pretty significant impact. Trey Alexander coming back. Look, he's a great player. He probably could have stayed in the draft and gone in the second round. That's a significant like, when you've got an NBA caliber player coming back onto your roster, that's obviously very significant. And, like, look, as a third-year starter and the things that he can do, he's probably up there with his teammate Ryan Kalkbrenner in the conversation for Big East Player of the Year. For me, though, and look, I'm a basketball rube. I don't know, you know, deep strategy and breaking down plays, and I didn't play basketball. But to me, just watching the game as an observer, the things that Trey Alexander does seem more replaceable than what Ryan Kalkbrenner does. And I only say that because it's Creighton. And I trust that Mac has somebody who can at least reasonably fill Trey Alexander's shoes and do those kinds of things. Right? But if we're talking about Trey Alexander playing for Nebraska and leaving Nebraska, I don't have that same trust. It's a different conversation. But with Creighton, I feel like the kind of player that Trey Alexander is, they could have someone who could reasonably fill in and do those kinds of things. Still a very significant impact getting him back. Maybe not quite as big, in my mind, as Kalkbrenner, because Kalkbrenner's like a unique player in the conference. Now, Tominaga... Like, Nebraska's got nobody on the roster who can do the things offensively that he does. Go back and watch Nick Baugh's breakdown. He did a Big Ten breakdown of what Keisei Tominaga does and why he's special. It's fascinating. Like, and Nick is the basketball expert. He knows how to break down plays and can see what players are doing well and what they're not. Like, he highlights the off-ball movement for Tominaga, and it's astonishing, like, just to watch what he does away from the ball. And then you have the questions of, like, who else on Nebraska's roster can make three-pointers with any consistency? CJ Wilcher, you trust him? And, like, I've said this before, but I don't think Fred knew what he had in Keisei Tominaga at the start of the season. And that's an indictment on him. He only found out when he was forced to play him a whole bunch at the end of the year and then went, oh, hey, this guy's pretty good. I like what he's doing out there.
This is a working right, guys?
Let's give him the ball more. Which, as a Nebraska basketball fan, how does that not drive you crazy? That he's averaging, you know, 20, 23 points a game down the stretch, and before that he's playing like 7 to 15 minutes a game. So with his return, it's either going to be huge, it's either going to be a huge impact, or it's going to be a massive failure. I don't see how there's a middle ground. Like, if Keisei Tominaga comes back and he averages 12 points a game, that's a failure to me. Like, it looks like on paper middle ground, but the amount of hype that's surrounding him and what is expected of him and the role that he is supposed to play for this team is not 12 points a game. He needs to be up in the 17, 18, 19 points a game range. Or, like, I don't think Nebraska is going to be very good again. If Keisei's up near 20 points a game, I think Nebraska's got a chance to be sort of a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team with the rest of the pieces that are around him coming back. Got some additions, Josiah Alec. But if Keisei's down around the 10-12 point range, that's not middle ground. That's not living up to what was expected. So in terms of biggest impact of the three who are coming back, I think it's Ryan Kalkbrenner. Because if Kalkbrenner is gone, I think Creighton still makes the tournament, but I don't think they're like a shoe-in for the second weekend. With him back on the roster, I think they are. So those are my thoughts on the returning players. Keisei, Kalkbrenner, Trailings. I don't know. I feel like Kalkbrenner's a bit of a unicorn, man. Like, you don't find many guys who are 7 feet tall and can move like he does and play the game the way he can. You can find three-point shooters. You can find playmakers. And especially at Creighton. I like Trey Alexander. I think he's a great player. He's probably going to be a fringe NBA guy. But for the college game, and especially in the Big East, like, Ryan Kalkbrenner is a difference maker, man. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Eli Drinkwitz, does he like the NIL? Does he not like the NIL? We don't really know. We'll talk about it next. Connor Happer Show, 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.